I want to welcome to our Keeping on Track open line, business communication in today's environment. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, then we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time, at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement to bring effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to help raise the hiring bar and to assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to avoid organizations getting stuck in shallow waters so our clients have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. I know we have a number of associations attending our program today. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Also, we have a brand new book coming out called Cracking the Business Code. It will be released in January. If you'd like an early issue, email me on my screen and we'll get you a copy as soon as we get them. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy and take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you'll want to consider and implement with your team and talk with your trusted advisors about. And you can print the slides out, lower right-hand corner of the screen, you'll see a print icon there. I'd like to introduce a close friend, longtime business colleague, special guest today, Linda Harris. Linda joined Jorgensen HR back in 1998 as Vice President of Consulting Services and became its president and then owner in January 2003. She has over 30 years' experience in human resource management. Prior to joining Jorgensen HR, Linda was a VP of HR, or Human Resources Director, of Coast Federal Bank for 20 years. Linda's area of expertise includes employee relations, employer compliance, HR assessments, compensation, recruitment, benefits, change management, management training, employee handbooks, workplace investigations, that's a real big one, by the way, and most employee-related matters. Linda received her bachelor's degree in business administration from the University of Redlands and previously taught compensation at the California University in Northridge. I feel privileged to have Linda with us today. We go back many years, and I just love Linda. Linda's phenomenal and knows her topic very well. You're going to get an amazing presentation today filled with ideas that you'll want to use today and for dealing with issues as they come up. One more thing before we begin. Registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be Inboarding Sets Employees Up for Success. Linda, I want to welcome you to Open Line.
Well, and thank you, Dana, and you were just so kind. But we do go back many, many, many years, and Dana and Ellen are good friends as and we work together on a number of matters. But good morning, and thank you, Dana, and Lighthouse Consulting for inviting me to speak with the group this morning on such an evolving topic here on business communication in today's work environment. And my screen just went blank on me, and now it's back. Okay.
There we go. Technology is wonderful when it works.
Okay. And as an HR consultant, I continue to see poorly written communication at all levels, from administrative assistants to managers. And this is a growing concern, particularly regarding grammar, spelling, just writing or written etiquette, tone, and more. And, you know, a lot of this even goes back into our high schools, Dana, because kids, if they're not getting it there, whatever written communications they're developing, they're bringing that into the work environments. I've spoken with educators, and they said that some of these students cannot even write complete sentences anymore because they're so used to doing abbreviations out there, and we're going to talk about that. But these, you know, if you want to call them bad habits, are just being, you know, transferring into our work environments there today. So this has caused great frustration in many environments and can be costly to businesses in many ways, and I will be discussing that during the presentation. There are many ways to communicate. However, today's presentation, I'm going to focus on written communication, specifically what I have seen, concerns that have been expressed to me by business owners and managers, and then we're going to spend some time just, you know, talking about tips and ways to improve. So, you know, it should be a fun session here, and I welcome all the questions that individuals may have. The most common forms of written communication includes letters, business letters. I mean, that's, you know, from the beginning of time, and memos. Those tend to be traditional. They're structured. They tend to be more formal in nature. Emails are very popular. They tend to be informal. They're fast and quickly becoming the communication of choice for many out there. And our email technology is great, but it also presents many challenges for businesses based on how individuals are actually using it. So let's talk about when to use what methods. In terms of the business letter or the memo and emails, it depends. And it depends on many factors, including what the company's culture is. How do they want to be perceived? What's their image? Some companies are very, very formal. Everything goes out on company letterhead. You know, so is the company, are they formal or informal in its communication style? Equally as important, who is the audience or the recipient? Who is the message going to? And then what is the purpose and the intent of the message being sent? Okay. And whether you are sending a letter, whether it's a memo, it's an email, the message should always be clear. It should be appropriate and not violate any policies. And when I'm talking about policies, talking about things like your anti-harassment policy, I want to make sure that there's not any information in there that could be harassing in any way, including the tone and how the email is presented, or any personal attacks on individuals. And it should be professional and business related. And this area raises a lot of concerns out there because emails is so quick, and you're thinking about it, and you send it, or you say something about an employee, or you send that joke, that quick joke, or the language is not appropriate, and now you've distributed this, you know, to someone in the company, but it's in the company's system out there. So you want to make sure the emails that you are sending are business-related. They're not violating any of the company's, you know, policies, harassment, standards of conduct, and such. Next slide. As a human resources professional, and I'm also a licensed private investigator, and I'm frequently asked to review written communications out there, you know, such as personnel files and memos, letters, et cetera. And sometimes some of the things that I see are very scary. I've conducted numerous investigations, and going through the process, some of the examples of things that I actually see are letters and memos are just poorly written. The grammar, the contents, sometimes it's very cryptic. Now, the writer, when we're writing, we know what we're saying, and it's in our head, but sometimes it doesn't transfer to the page, and it's very cryptic. And the reader may not understand or follow what you're trying, what's in your head. And I have even done that before, and I had a thought that was in my head, and I could have swore I included it or I wrote it, and I find out later that I missed that point. And I'm thinking, okay. So, and especially if the person that's reading it is external to the organization, acronyms and such, they may not understand what those are. And I've seen memos that are just too casual or vague.
Linda, we did have a question come in on the casual part. Can you give an example of something that's too casual?
Yes. I actually recall reviewing a memo in an employee's file, and all it said was, spoke with Mary today regarding her performance. And managers are trained to document things, even if it's not a formal written counseling or something, to just make a note of something. And apparently that's what this person did. And they just said, spoke with Mary today regarding her performance. Well, gee, there's no, you know what date it is. I don't. There was no date on it. There was no explanation of the performance problem. And there was no indication of who wrote it. You know you wrote it, but I'm looking at this. I don't know that you wrote it. And those are the type of things, problems that we encounter when we're going back and we're looking at information. It's like, okay, so when did this happen? Who did it? Okay. So that's what I mean by vague or it's just too casual.
And most people, as far as leaving out, getting so casual, there's no dear Jim or hello. It's just more of a sending information. Are there company policies or recommendations as far as formalities or non-formalities for salutations?
Some companies do have formalities in terms of written communication. Some even have specific font size and such that you have to use. They do. So there are companies that will have some standards out there. Most do not.
So for a department, let's say, that wants to frame themselves as on it, highly professional, then it would be important for that department to set some standards for the staff members or group
members?
Yes,
absolutely. And we're going to go through a couple or a few standards in the presentation here.
Great.
But, yes, it would be very good for them to establish some type of standards for consistency sake.
Okay, some type of protocol. Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. What I'm also seeing, emails are written like text messages with text abbreviations, shortcuts, symbols, you know, U for just the letter U or R, and then happy faces. I don't know about you, but I get emails and they'll have happy faces, they'll have explanation, symbols and such in those messages. And we cannot assume that everyone knows the text abbreviations out there. And I have encountered this so many times, and it's even caused some embarrassment. But during a recent training session on email etiquette, I gave participants a list of 25 text abbreviations, and this was just for a fun exercise, just to see if they could figure them out. And very few got all 25 correct. They were even amazed. They were like, wow. And on a sadder note, I had actually heard a story of an employee sending an email to a coworker expressing their condolences for the death of a family member. And at the end of the email message, she wrote LOL, which we know to be laughing out loud. Well, the sender thought it meant lots of love. And needless to say, was a little confused. Yes, yes, yes. So that's why I said we can't assume that everyone knows text abbreviations. It may sound simple for many, but, hey, this was a situation where, hey, LOL, she thought it meant lots of love, and she put it on this email expressing condolences, and the recipient, needless to say, was a little confused, and the sender ultimately was very embarrassed. So, yes, not a good situation.
Good point.
Yes, 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 yes. And, I mean, I've even gone through sometimes I get messages with abbreviations, and I'm thinking, what is that? What is that? I saw something recently. It was POV, V as in Victor. I'm like, POV, POV, and for point of view. And I'm thinking, if I have to think this hard on trying to translate messages,
right.
It's not good, all right? Yeah. So we're seeing that. And we're finding that written communication, particularly emails, are replacing phone calls and that in-person interaction, even if the person is in the next cube. And I don't know, some of the individuals on this call, you know, if they have kids, have you ever had kids sitting in the back seat and they are texting each other sitting in the back of the car, and there's no conversation? We see this in the work environment as well. People that are one or two cubes away from someone are texting rather than getting up, walking a few feet, and having a conversation. We've lost that. Right. So having said that, move on here to the next slide. Tips for improving. When sending a letter, just should make sure that it follows business writing standards to include a salutation, a body or contents that is not too lengthy, and it just gets to the point fairly quickly, and have an appropriate closing or follow-up statement. If there's action items that are required, to address those in a time frame. And then, of course, the signature and title, and then use your company letterhead as appropriate by company standards and policies on that one. And that's for those good old formal business letters. Memos, on the other hand, are typically used internally, and it would be for sending communications to others regarding policies and procedures. It could be for announcements, employee matters, and operation issues. And I have found that when sending a memo, having a standard format helps. And on the screen there I have just basic, to, from, date, and subject. It is so simple. And I use that on I use that format on practically everything. And even when I'm sending emails to individuals, I have, you know, you got your subject there, you have your date, and if you use the Word document, I would just type these headings in there because it gets all of the important basics out of the way. It's consistent, and it really helps that external person or someone external to your department to understand who is coming from, what the subject is, the date, and that information. And now we get into when sending emails to follow email etiquette, do's and don'ts. And this always tends to be, you know, a lot of fun in the sessions because people can relate to them either having done them or receiving emails that don't conform to some of the email etiquette. Okay. The do's. Do be careful what you write. First and foremost, be careful what you write. Emails are recoverable and discoverable. If you think when you press that delete button that that email is gone, it's incorrect. That email is still out there in the system, and it can be recovered by the IT person, and they are discoverable. So the emails can be subpoenaed. So I always tell managers when I'm conducting these trainings, be careful not to send emails that you would not want your supervisor, coworker, an attorney, or even a jury to read. And that includes, you know, those inappropriate emails, jokes, and all of that that shouldn't be sent through the company email system anyway. And there's usually a policy regarding not sending that kind of material through the company email. But you are creating a paper trail. And so often I've had to go back and read emails when I'm conducting investigation. And I tell you, it's very, very scary, some of the materials that I read. And in those emails, you want to avoid making inappropriate comments, making unvalidated allegations about employees, your personal feelings about employees or someone. It may not even be an employee, but you want to avoid putting this kind of an information in an email. You want to do a spell check before sending. It only takes a minute, but it can save you from embarrassment. Plus, you should always proofread as well because spell check does not pick up a word if it is spelled correctly, but maybe it wasn't the right word that you wanted to use or maybe it's used incorrectly. So be careful of that. Going on to the next slide. Do keep messages brief and to the point. And you do not want to blind copy or courtesy copy individuals that do not have a need to know or should not be included. I tell individuals, ask yourself if everyone being copied has a need to know. And note that sometimes people are copying to cover themselves or to point out something that someone else did wrong and for fear of them being blamed for it.
Linda, a question just came in about the rule of threes, and I think what they mean is some companies have policies where if it gets over three emails back and forth, you pick up the phone. What are your thoughts on that?
And I would agree on that in terms of when should you not email or when should you stop emailing someone and communicate by phone or in person. And that would be, I would say, when emails are going back and forth with no resolution and you're creating that lengthy email string, which is just not good. Or when the emails become confrontational, and or unprofessional, or when you did not receive a response in a reasonable time frame, or if something is highly confidential that should not be put in writing, such as if you're discussing terminations or you have some suspicions of an employee, you don't want to put all of that in an email, or when the matter is time sensitive. So and if a company has a rule of three, then, of course, you're going to follow that standard. But this is why they have that, is because sometimes emails just go on and on and on and on, and to the point of being counterproductive out there.
The same thing goes for voicemail, I assume, that it is retrievable at some point, and you want to make sure you're not leaving the wrong message?
Absolutely. I mean, voicemail messages, I mean, those are recordings. So, but if someone deletes them, those are typically gone. But nevertheless, it does create a trail if individuals are saving those messages. So you do not want to say anything inappropriate on someone's voice message. Years ago, I had a manager terminate someone on voicemail. They just called and left a message at their home. You're fired. Don't come into work.
Wow. Wow.
I know. Some of these things are basic, but they warrant, you know, covering again and just as a refresher. And then for some, it may be new information. So, because we're obviously still seeing it in the work environment out there. On the next slide, did that answer your question, Dana?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. And do not consolidate consolidate emails as much as possible, and consider attachments when appropriate. And again, this avoids lengthy emails. Okay. Now getting into the don'ts. Don't send an email when you're angry. Oh, take a few minutes before pressing that send button and reread that message, because you may want to modify it after you have calmed down, because once you press send, it's gone. Okay. And then don't copy people on the emails who do not need to be included, which goes back to knowing why you're copying them in the first place. And then a biggie here. Don't reply to all if not appropriate. I've seen where that has caused embarrassment because you're responding to something, and maybe it's regarding someone that was copied on the email, and that can become very embarrassing. Okay. Don't reply normally if you're not the to recipient. Unless you have some relevant information that, you know, you're just observing or viewing, and you should not be responding or replying. And sometimes I have a problem with that because I was like, oh, I want to comment on that. And I was not the recipient. I'm just, you know, an observer. I was copied on there, so. Be careful of that. Don't tag every email with a red flag or mark it as high importance, seeing where individuals, everything they send is high importance. And, you know, that's eventually, I mean, everything is going to become common. And it's as though when they have everything marked with a red flag. Don't use all caps. When you use all caps, that's like you are yelling at the recipient.
Linda, a question just came in about using the recall on an email.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the general timing on that? If you happen to press send, you go, uh-oh, how fast you can recall something?
No, I do not. That would be a good IT question, because
okay.
I've had people where they have recalled, and it was they were able to retrieve it, and in other instances it was gone.
Okay.
So no, I do not know.
Okay.
And then you want to avoid writing an email in red font unless you're trying to highlight or emphasize a point, because again, it's like you are yelling at the recipient or you are angry. And you're really upset if you put it in all caps and red font.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about how your communication will be perceived by others. Is it too lengthy? And if it is, it may not be read completely. And the recipient may miss details because they just go scanning over it. Is your message clear? You want to make sure that you get to the point quickly. And bullet points may be helpful in this regard. And if there's any action that's required, you want to summarize that and provide dates or turnaround times here. Above all, what is the tone of your message? And I find this to be very problematic when I'm reviewing documents. Is I read something, I'm like, whoa, that's not good. And a lot of times it's not what is said, it's how it was said or the tone or manner in which it was said. Going to the next slide, is the message, is it harsh? Are you being demanding? Someone coming across as someone superior when in fact that they're not? Or is it coming across as threatening or bullying the individual? Is it just downright rude? Are you putting the text in bold and those underlines and caps and exclamation point? All of that creates a tone in a written communication.
Linda, what are some of the effects of poor communication when emailing? How does that affect the work environment when these things take place?
Some of the effects of the poor or inappropriate written communication includes misunderstandings out there. It includes frustration, anger, conflicts with others. And we see a lot of conflict with others surrounding email communication. Many times I hear about employee issues or conflicts based on how someone interpreted the tone of an email. For example, the sender came across as demanding, or the sender was pointing out errors of the recipient, or the sender was copying everyone, causing embarrassment to the original recipient. And what happens is then you create a tit for tat. Well, you're going to point out something that I did wrong. Well, the next time you do something wrong, then I'm going to put that in an email and send it to everyone. So you get into those kind of tit for tat wars in the work environment. And this can lead to lack of cooperation and respect. It can divide teams in the work environment. So those are the ways that it can be costly to an organization, is when the emails become counterproductive. It causes the conflict with others in the work environment. And written communication, it's a great tool in our businesses today. However, it should not replace the phone or the in-person communication when appropriate. And we kind of went through when it would be appropriate to have that in-person communication or that phone call. And what companies can do today to help facilitate with some of the training is to train employees, train managers on proper email etiquette or written communication. What is the company's style and format that they want to use? And train managers and supervisors on what's appropriate to put in emails, what's appropriate, inappropriate. and also talk about things that are, you know, privileged and when something is attorney-client privilege or how it becomes attorney-client privilege, because emails can play a tremendous role in an investigation, which means that those emails can be subpoenaed. So like I said earlier, you're creating that paper trail out there, and companies should have standards and policies.
So, Linda, when someone's being onboarded into the organization, is it best within the employee handbook or maybe in some type of training orientation what expectations are and show them templates so then it's laid out? So if somebody breaks the protocol, then you can say, well, that's not what we showed you in the beginning?
Well, absolutely. If companies have formats, if they have templates that they require employees to use, they definitely need to be trained or provided with these documents so that they can comply with the company policies.
Okay. Okay, great. I know this is it's a very complex subject because people get lax over a period of time. But it's just it's important, even though these things seem very basic as we're going through them, it's a complex subject matter. As you said, it can come back and bite you.
Right. And then there's the whole arena of text messaging. You know, we go from business letters, we've got emails, we have texting. I mean, texting is even faster than, you know, the emails, and you definitely have a lot of abbreviations, in that method of communication. So, and like I said, our technology is awesome out there, but it's not without its challenges and not without creating some problems for employers based on how it's used.
Yeah, no, it's all, is it appropriate or not? And how many times do you suggest somebody reading an email before they press send?
Well, I think if they, they've written it, they need to at least proofread it. Go through it at least once in proofreading it.
Okay, and if it's a subject matter that's really important to convey the right message, have somebody else check it?
They can have someone else to take a look at it or read it a couple of times. And, I mean, I've gone through emails and I've read it, and it conveys what I'm trying to get across. And then I ask myself, okay, put myself in the other person's shoes. They don't know anything about the organization. Will they understand what I'm trying to convey? So
it's interesting. I was just interviewing a gentleman for an accounting manager position yesterday, and this person had mentioned that in the past they had been very specific in an email regarding an HR issue. They pressed send, went to HR, and in his mind, he covered the topic. 2 months later, the email comes back to him from another department head and said, why would you write such a thing like this? They think that you're upset and mad on this topic. And he looked at it and he goes, what are you talking about? So he read it through and he said, no, this is what I meant. And the person said, that's not what you wrote.
Exactly.
And he had to get up, walk himself down, talk to HR to explain himself. But that was 60 days after he had sent it, and now he had a reputation within the company of being a disgruntled individual. So this subject is huge.
Yes, it is, and that's what is creating conflicts with others in the work environment, because I know what I meant, you know, but I'm not certain how you are going to interpret that message. And, you know, so that makes that, you know, communication, it can be challenging sometimes, because people read into it what was not intended.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
Let's do this. We're gonna open up the line in just a minute so you guys can ask questions directly of Linda. So I'm going to turn the recording feature off in just a second, and we're going to open the line up. Let's go to the last slide. You'll see on your screen in just a second an area for registration for our next program on January 21st, and the program is Inboarding Sets Employees Up for Success. Sign up today, reserve a space. Let us know if you'd like staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint for today's program. Please feel free to share it with others within your organization or within your association. If you'd like to post it, please feel free to. Linda, I want to thank you so much for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. Linda's contact information is on the screen. If you'd like to discuss specifics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time to talk about specifics, Linda's there for you. Again, we're going to open it up in just 1 second. I just need to close down this section of our program today. The information shared today is a property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, just let us know. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track Open Line program. Have a great day. Hold the line. Let me just turn the recording off, and we'll open it up for Linda to share additional ideas.